Praise God. All right, we are in a series called This is Kingdom. And as you know, in this series, this is a part of the final changes of the direction of our church. We've gone from, in the beginning, we were kind of a mini grace conference every week when we first planted the church and brought what I felt the Lord wanted us to do was bring the grace message to this area. Grace and faith and God's unconditional love. Now, God has transitioned us because that's never where we were supposed to stay. We were supposed to be really going into the place where we are a local church. We're not ministering to the world, although people all over the world listen to our podcasts and have for years, which amazes me. That's the value of the internet. And we're not a USA church or a state of Michigan church or under one particular banner except the banner of Jesus Christ. But we are a local church. We are a local church for this community and around this community. That's really what our mission is and has been from the very beginning. So during this time and during these messages, we really have turned our ship, so to speak, into the thinking, the mentality, the heart that says we're going to reach this community for Jesus Christ. We're going to bring the gospel of grace into our community, into the areas where people need to hear about Jesus. But it's not just force feeding or saying, hey, y'all come in here because we got the answer to all your needs and problems and we'll love on you as long as you come here. But it's taking Jesus and all that he is out. Now, I'm not an evangelist. I'm going to tell you that right now. I have evangelized people and spoken to people in a whole lot of different ways, including church on Sundays and different days, different meetings and things like that. But I'm not an evangelist, so to speak, and probably most of you are not. But living Jesus is a paradigm shift in how we think and how we do that in this culture today. Because this culture today is the last days. This culture today, this is it. I'm serious. This is it. We're in it. We have been placed here at this time for a purpose. And that purpose is to bring the love and the grace of God to whatever our sphere is around us. Whatever comes into our sphere, to bring that love and that grace to people. But the question is, how do we do it? And that's been a part of this series. This is my prayer, Lord, shake us up. Shake us up. Shake up our minds and our hearts and our comfort zones and wake us up into the reality of what we're called to do. Instead of sitting on our complacency, staying in our comfort zones, and not operating in the fullness of who you are and who we are in you in our lives. Shake us up, Lord, mightily, truly, and wonderfully in Jesus' name. That's my heart. Now, we have a purpose. And since we got to this final phase of where our church is supposed to be over 8 years, of course, stuff has come. Because inserting into the Ipsy, Ann Arbor, Canton, Belleville communities comes with a price. And we've had some stuff happen. We've been through this before, right? We've been through this before. The enemy raises his ugly head and lets his stink come out. And you know what? He's already beaten. He's defeated. He's a nothing. He's a zero. But he still does some flailing. And so we just tell him where to go and keep on going, right? But we do it together. Amen? Amen. In authority, in Jesus' name. Okay, so this series, This is Kingdom, that's what this life is this is kingdom. Are we living This is Kingdom? Because we're supposed to be. Our country is temporary. and all this onslaught of accusation and politics and polarization and all these divisions that are happening and have been happening, and climate change, and you know, you think, what? Some of this stuff is nonsense. Are you kidding me? But it's important to people, because regardless of the facts, please hear me on this. I'm not belittling or devaluing. People believe according to their feelings and the decisions that they make, and because of that, they can be confronted with facts and not believe it, because it happens internally, happens in the mind, happens in the heart. This is what we face. This is why things are going like they are. This is what's happening. This is the reality. So how in the world do we live kingdom in the grace of God, the ability and capability and strength and power of God in this time today? How do we do this? Because that's really the question. This country is temporary. Our surroundings are temporary. What we have is temporary. Our lives are temporary. But what's eternal is kingdom. This is it. And everything we do now goes on ahead. Everything. And we can never lose sight of that. Matthew 5, don't go there because I'm going to buzz this. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Jesus says to his disciples, you, and he's really, I mean, this is point blank, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is the flavor. You're either good flavor or you're zero flavor. And that's all of us. For if we're disciples and we are the light to the world, our light is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the reality of living him in front of people or doing life with people that don't know him. How do we do this? Because in reality, the church has been pretty ineffective. Can I get an amen? Amen. The church has been pretty ineffective. In living Jesus, we've been great at, and I'm not saying we, I'm saying we generally, church over the years and over the past, let's just say the last 50 years has been great at being religious. But it's not been so great in the reality of his grace to the world. You see, grace brought us in. The grace of God and the love of God brought us into the kingdom. But the grace of God and the love of God are still there for the world. They're still there. And guess what? We're the tools. Or we're the visible aspects of Jesus and the life of Jesus to everybody around us. You do not have to be an evangelist. You do not have to be a pastor or a teacher or an apostle or a prophet. You just have to be you. That's it. That's for all of us. That's me too. So we're salt and we're light. We need to get that imprinted on our hearts, grafted in so that it's set and we remember it all the time, because flesh happens. Opportunities for flesh happen. You all know what I mean? We can get real carnal, can't we? I don't know about you, but I can. Still, I've come a long way, baby. But my flesh is getting better and better. I'm getting more and more sanctified. But my flesh still at times does rise up. I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say so. When I recognize that I need to deal with it, and that's for all of us. Would you turn to Luke chapter 10, please? Luke chapter 10. We're going to read through this whole thing today, and I want to make some certain and specific points. The title of this message today is called The Power of Mercy. Amen. It is the power of mercy. This is how we do it with the world around us. This is it. We've got the key. Jesus gave it to us. The caustic condition of the world around us has hardened the hearts of people who know Jesus Christ in a lot of ways, to the point that we can't see the gospel of grace working in the world around us anymore. Read the news. Read the news every day. Just read it every day. Your heart will get hardened. Read it every day. I guarantee you that that seed will harden your heart rather than the seed of the gospel of the truth and the reality. I'm not saying don't be aware of what's going on, but don't focus on it. Don't spend a lot of time on it. Man, don't stick with the negative and the garbage and the continual accusations that are going on back and forth and policies and everything else. That's not what this is about. That's not kingdom. You understand that none of the news stations are kingdom? None of them. Okay. Enough said. All right. Before I start, did you hear the one about a lawyer, a priest, and a Samaritan? Did you? You already heard this, didn't you? Well, you're going to. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I've got to get there myself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Last week, we touched on the very first part of these two scriptures. I want to start here and just real quick cover this. Verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" I want to live forever and I want to live in the kingdom. What qualifies me to do that? The only thing that qualifies us is Jesus Christ, faith in him, in what he did on the cross, during the cross and resurrection and the resurrection. That's it. And by the way, Jackie's class on Tuesday nights, if you think that the 3 days to change the world is all about, okay, Jesus died, Jesus rose, let's go on, and we've got it. I know it. No, you do not. I guarantee you it's going to shake some pillars in some of the things that you think you know. I guarantee you, because it shook some of mine. Sent me back to studying. Now my heart in our classes, we got a whole buffet going on in this church. Come and get it, because the dinner bell's ringing. You can have all you want. But this class, I'm promoting this class because this class is going to shake you up in a good way. It's going to rattle your cages. It's going to make you go study. It's going to make you ask questions that need to be asked. And things that you do not know, and I guarantee you, go to the class, okay? Don't forsake this class, all right? Anybody interested? Raise your hands, please. Let me see them. I know some of you come. Please go. I encourage you. You can go on Tuesday nights, go for an hour and a half, and get everything you can get. Okay. Enough of the advertisement. Verse 26, Jesus said to the lawyer, "What's written in the law and what is your reading of it?" Now this guy's an expert in the law. So the lawyer said, he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind." That's number one. That is first priority. And that has got to be our first priority. But this sounds like, "I command you." Can you all see this? "I command you to love me." This is the Lord saying this. "I command you to love me. First and foremost, no matter what." I want to take you into the meaning of this scripture. It's not something forced or coerced. This is God saying, "Will you love me reciprocally like I love you? Will you love me?" Because this is how, now hear this, this is how God loves us, with everything and unconditionally. And he's saying, will you love me the same way? That's exactly what that means. Okay? So it's our choice. Number two, Jesus said, after the first scripture, the second one, or the second point, was, and your neighbor as yourself. And again, I'm going to paraphrase this, will you love your neighbor as yourself? Those are the requests. Those are the basis of all the moral and civil law of the whole Bible. Everything is based on those. The lawyer knew that. Verse 28. Jesus said to the lawyer, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. Now, nobody can do this on their own. Right? Just by choice, because flesh rises. But it requires a change in our heart. That's what it requires. It requires a change in our heart. He's talking about keeping the rigid rules. Jesus is talking about a heart change. But the lawyer, verse 29, wanting to justify himself, this is the major point of today. The lawyer wanting to justify himself to Jesus says, who's my neighbor? This is what he's saying. I'm willing to do this, but I've got some agenda. There are loopholes that I can use and I can apply so that I can justify how I want to love, the way I want to love, how much I want to love, those I choose to love. That's what he's saying. Now, there is not a one of us here that hasn't done that. I know I have. I'm not proud of it, but I've done it. Believe me, every time I get a message, every time I teach, I go through everything or have gone through it. I don't teach anything I haven't walked through. I promise you this. Okay? Self-justification. When he said, who is my neighbor? Now, neighbor in the Greek means everybody. That's it. Everybody. In the church, outside the church, there's no qualifying on this. It is across the board, every single human being. Loving them and loving people in this way. Now, this is not, and please understand, this is not agape love. This is the kind of love that says, I'm going to love you, care for you, I'm going to care about you, I'm going to do what I can to help you. I'm not going to be your enemy. I'm going to be your friend. As much as you'll let me, I'm going to be at peace with you. If you have a need, I'll help you. This is the kind of love this means. Neighbor is everybody. This kind of love. Without qualifying or justifying anything else in our lives according to the way we want it. Jesus answered and said, when he said, who is my neighbor? Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. What was he doing on the road? Didn't he know better than that? Didn't he know that was a bad neighborhood? He did it to himself. He deserved it by rights. Okay, it was stupid. Right? Carrying all your money, all your cash, you're going down a bad neighborhood. Come on, where's the common sense here? Well, you reaped what you sowed. I'm justifying some things here. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. The priest and the Levite were very super, hyper religious adherence to the law based on self-justification. What Jesus is showing in this incident is how incredibly hard and self-justifying they were as part of the religious community. This is the picture of how a lot of the church has been. I spoke a few weeks back about, unfortunately, one particular dear friend of mine was on Facebook, and somebody we went to Bible school with, and because you go to Bible school doesn't mean you got everything worked out, okay? Y'all know that, right? People think you go to Bible college and you go from cloud to cloud to cloud, and you do not. And this person, very dear, was in the midst of the back and forth accusations and slamming and demeaning and degrading people. It was ugly. Was it love? Of course it wasn't. But the caustic part of this world that's been going on, they got caught up in. And they lent themselves to it. And they became a part of the factions and drawn in to what's happening in this world around us today. That's why we're going through this series, so that you don't get caught up in this stuff and never lose your focus on why we're here and what we're about and how temporary this is. You know the United States is not forever. You know the United States is not listed in Scripture. Do you all know that? No. Russia is. China is. Israel is. The Middle East is. And the United States glaringly is not. Why do you think that is? I'll leave that to you and the Lord. Temporary. Remember that. I love my country. This is temporary. All of it. Kingdom. What is kingdom and what is not? All right. Let me finish this up. Verse 33. After the Levite and the priest had left, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Please understand this. The guy that was beaten up, I mean, he was beat, stripped, everything, lost it all, was probably Jewish. The Samaritan, there's nothing lower than a Samaritan in the Jews' eyes than a dog. Oh, excuse me, than a woman, than a dog. This is racism, gender inequality. They existed then. How did Jesus battle this stuff? How did he do it? Because it's still going on, unfortunately. The power of mercy. The Samaritan, despised, went to him, verse 34, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He gave up his time. He got no return on this, did he? Cost him. He did first aid, and then he continued to be a caregiver. He went out of his way to do what he needed, what this man needed, out of compassion. And this man probably, as a Jew, spoke against him or hated Samaritans or in some way, shape, or form had done things, said things, facilitated things that were against his race, his people. On the next day, verse 35, when the Samaritan departed, he took out 2 denarii or 2 days' pay. Back in 05, I was making about, somewhere around $250 a day. I think about taking $500 to give to somebody. This is 05. To give to somebody who I don't even know, out of my pocket, who probably hates me, but who has a need, very obviously. I have the grace and the choice and the power of mercy in me to do something or not. Took out 2 days' pay, and he gave him to the innkeeper, and he said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Obviously, he had a relationship with the innkeeper, and there was some trust there. And he said, whatever else it cost, whatever else it costs. That's quite an investment into somebody as far as mercy goes. Jesus asked, so which of the three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, he who showed mercy on him. And then he says, go and do likewise. Go do the same thing. Now mercy, in its definition, in the Greek, with this expanded understanding, very simply means compassion and empathy and sympathy and understanding. But the root of it, the root of mercy, is the value of the person. When you look at somebody who's different, who has a need. It could be emotional need, it could be physical need, it could be financial need, it could be, there's all kinds of needs. And I'm not talking just in the church. Is there compassion and empathy and understanding and value towards the person? I shared last week about coming out of a political meeting. I went to a coffee shop to go study for a while to get away, and I walked into a political meeting where a Republican congressman had left the Republican Party and become a Democrat and was having a meeting. You think there were slings and arrows? It was all over the board. And you know what? There are people, there are Christians that I know who would verbally attack him. I'm going to talk about, believe me, it's nobody here. Who would verbally attack, condemn, go to social media, and I mean get going. Rather than see the value of the person and able to exercise the power of mercy to them. You see, we're not called to do anything else at all but demonstrate love toward our neighbor. Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. We are getting persecuted as Christians. We're getting slammed. It's going to get worse. If I didn't tell you that, I would be remiss in my call. It's going to get worse. So how do we live in this caustic culture as believers in Jesus Christ? It is the power of mercy. We can demonstrate the power of mercy every day, all the time, everywhere, to every person, every time, by choice. That is love. Now, I've only got 5 minutes. So let me make sure that this is clear. Instead of looking for loopholes and being self-justifying, this is for all of us, I'm speaking to me right now, on how much or how deeply we love somebody or choose to demonstrate mercy to them and value them and understand and empathize and help and show compassion. We have to look at, and this is, again, this is all of us, our actions, our thoughts, our words, and our feelings that go against the word. We have to look at these things and face them. All of us do. We want to normally, and this is very human, we want to rationalize, we want to reason out our feelings. This is not our mental, the mental aspect, our feelings on race, gender, politics, values, religion. How about Muslims? Right after 9/11, how'd that make you feel? You run into a Muslim, and boy, we had never even seen a Muslim until we moved here. How about that? All these things, somebody's morality or their belief system that are different from me and how I see things and what I know to be true based on the word. They're different than me. But can I see them differently? I have to face this. That's when we're making our priorities more important than the Lord's priorities. In reality, we're saying my priorities are more important than you and what you want. Justifying ourselves sounds like it's not my problem, it's their problem. It's not my business. I don't have any time. Man, we all don't have much time, do we? But we make time for the things we want. We're funny people, aren't we? We determine that they brought it on themselves, lived in the wrong neighborhood, or how about bad things happen to good people? Oh, well. As part of devaluing somebody as a person that God loves and cares about, no matter who they are or what they're doing. This never, ever, ever means that we're affirming sin. We're saying sin and what your lifestyle is and what you're doing is a good thing. That never means that. When we demonstrate the power of mercy, we're saying we're going to love you. I'm going to love you in spite of and because you're valuable to God as a person, as a human being. You have value. And I can see through the muck in your life and see his value, and I can demonstrate the power of mercy to you. I'm going to read this list real quick. If we're really going to walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? Galatians 5, 16 through 18. 2 Timothy 1, 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Right? Every time that we operate in self-justification, we're operating in the old nature, which is fear-based. Our old nature is strictly fear-based. When we know who we are in Jesus Christ, we don't have any fear about interacting or showing mercy to somebody else. You know that? Number three, 1 John 4, verse 20. 1 John 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not Love his brother. And this term brother means brother in the Lord and everybody else. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Realistically, it makes us hypocrites. You ever heard the term? I love him, but I don't like him. That term, love his brother, means, he who loves God and hates his brother means that I detest them. I love them, because I have to, but I detest them. That makes us a liar. Been there. Lastly, 2 Corinthians 5:15, Jesus died for all. That's the value every human being has. Every single one. We cannot get so caught up with the world tearing itself apart, our country tearing itself apart, that we've lost our sight, hardened our hearts, closed our ears to the power of mercy. We cannot do that. Jesus continually demonstrated the payout of mercy to every single person who didn't deserve it, or who was stupid, or who was caustic, or who was a mess, or who was living in sin. Every single person, he valued the person, not the sin, but he valued the person for the kingdom. And he reached many. That's us. He's our template. James 2, I won't read this. I will read this. James 2, verses 8 and 9. This is the gospel of grace in action. If you really, he's speaking to us and he's being very personal. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. The royal law, when James is speaking about the royal law, he's speaking about the law from heaven. He's speaking about the heart. He's speaking about everything in us. It's real, okay? This is real. This is not some, oh, I got to do it because it's a command. This is real. It means we've had a heart change. It means we've stopped judging people. It means that actually we're going to be real about it. And this is a process. Please understand, everything in this life is a process, but we go forward as far as we want to and as quickly as we want to. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality is self-justification. You commit sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. It's a real blunt word. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, if you jump down, James says, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Did we really live in this heart change or not? For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Here it is, the culmination of today. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Always. Always. Forever. We're the ones that have received mercy. You all know where I came from? What I came out of? Oh God, who would love me and show mercy to me? Yet my Hispanic parents in the Lord did. Wow. I wouldn't have loved me. I don't know that I could have loved me right now, looking back. But they did, and they gave me mercy. And we've all been given that. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The action of mercy speaks louder than words alone, and it means going out of our way to live it out. Not leaving someone in need in the same condition we found them. How do you do this? Okay, not everybody needs mercy. There are some scammers. You know that, right? There's some scammers. They're out there. be led by the Holy Spirit. All right? But even if you get scammed, guess what? You're planting seed. And the seed that you sow produces fruit and comes back to you and produces a harvest, and it makes you fruity. Okay? Be led by the Holy Spirit. Pray for those needing mercy. Okay. Ask the Lord for those who need mercy to come into your life. Wow. That's scary. Take action as you are led, like Jesus did. Give value, dignity, empathy, understanding to people in compassionate mercy where you can. In Jesus' name. Stand up with me, please.